Gather some final thoughts for Sunday morning's message. These thoughts came to mind, and so I want to preach to you a little bit out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the one verse of scripture that we'll be looking at Sunday. And I'll not give this material Sunday. I will, if the Lord leads me to, refer the people to the live stream that they can go back and look at. So before I get into the message, I want to talk with you about prayer, of course. I believe that in this section, the Apostle Paul is telling the church here at Thessalonica how to remain a healthy church. And churches today need to be healthy. And it's just so important. People have so many ideas of what makes a healthy church, but the Bible tells us what makes a healthy church. And I think that a lot of it is right here, where you realize that the leadership has a responsibility to the people. And if you're going to have a healthy church, you have to understand that there has to be leadership. That leadership has qualifications and expectations of the people from the scripture, and they have expectations and they have relationship and they have responsibility to the people. And then the people have responsibility to the leadership. And then the people have responsibility to one another. And then in this section, beginning in verse number 16, the people have responsibility to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the very first thing that he said is, rejoice evermore. You know, be a joyful Christian. So how's it going to happen? Well, I hope you wrote down. If you didn't, go back and just listen to some of the reasons that we have to be joyful. We talked about the character of God and the work of Christ, the redemptive work of Christ, what it means to be saved. If it just stopped right there, that would be enough to keep us joyful, wouldn't you say? It would be. But then there's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. There's the fellowship of the brethren. There's so many things to be thankful for and to rejoice about. Now, I do believe that if you follow verse 16 down through verse number 22, actually the end of the chapter, these are causes to rejoice. He said, rejoice evermore. And you may say, well, how am I going to do that? Well, just pray without ceasing. And we'll address that some tonight and then some Sunday, the Lord willing. And then if you want to rejoice and evermore and always be rejoicing, learn to be thankful. You know, thankful people are joyful people. They just are. And then if you want to be rejoicing always or evermore, then don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't do anything that would offend the Holy Spirit. Don't quench His presence and His voice in your life. Be sensitive to the dealings of the Holy Spirit. If we want to remain joyful, then despise not prophesies. Make the Word of God of high regard in your life. Take in the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. And write on down, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. And so these are ways it could contribute to a joyful life. I want to talk with you out of verse number 17. I want to preach to you a little bit. And before I do, I'll have a word of prayer, and then I have some questions I want to ask you, and I want you to think about this. I want you to think about what would be reasons. You know, we talked about reasons that we could be rejoicing always. The character of God, the redemptive work of Christ, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and we went down the list. There's a lot of reasons, a lot of reasons. Now, what would be the motives that we should pray without ceasing? In verse number 17, pray without ceasing. Why should I always be praying? What are some reasons or some motivations to keep us praying consistently, constantly, being the attitude of prayer? So you think about that as we pray and pray and ask God to bring you to your understanding some reasons that you find necessary to pray in your life. And let's just be open, okay? We don't say something that, well, you know, I think this will impress the pastor. I think this will impress the people. This is not about impressing anyone. this is just us wanting to be a healthy church. What are some motivations that leads me to prayer? Why do I pray? Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and I pray in this study together tonight that you would give me wisdom and give me the unction that I need to take what you have put in my heart and through the word of God, place it on the hearts of your people. And God, help us that we would be healthy in this area of prayer. And so I pray that you would help us as we look into your word, help our hearts to be open to the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the word of God this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now, so kind of a casual time here. I just want you to raise your hand, and I just want you to just, let's just have a little dialogue, okay? Yes, Sister Tammy. Yeah, I think that's actually one of the things I have written down here. It keeps us in communion. It keeps us in fellowship, or as Sister Tammy said, it keeps us close to the Lord. It keeps him a focal point in our lives. It's a very, very good motivation. It's at the top, in my opinion, of why we should pray. Someone else. What motivates you to pray, Brother Philip? Amen. I think that's great. And that's another one. Y'all are preaching my message for me. We need God's wisdom. We're to trust him with all of our heart. We don't need to lean on our own understanding. We need discernment in our lives. I can't make decisions based on what I know and my based on my resources. I need God's help. I mean, decisions in life. We all, listen, most of us in this room have been saved long enough. We're old enough to know that choices are going to ultimately determine the choices we make, where we end up, the destiny of life, right on down to our choice to trust Christ. But even after that, choices, decisions that we make, so, so important, and we need to pray about those. Very good. Who else? Yes, Sister Carrie. Yeah, amen. That's a point I have. Peace, the Bible teaches. Be careful for nothing, but by prayer, right? In everything, give thanks. And so we're going to talk about that. So the peace of God would be in our hearts, the peace that passeth all understanding. And so we pray for peace, for protection. You know, that verse talks about guarding our hearts and our minds from worry, anxiety, and the fears of this life. And so we pray for that protective shield of God to give us peace that this world knows nothing about. Jesus said, peace I give unto you. My peace give I unto you, not as the world giveth. Listen, the world will boast that they have a peace, but that peace will not protect from the things that God's peace will protect us from. And so, therefore, we need to pray. Very good point. Very good. These are three good, very good motivations to pray. Yes, Brother Larry. That's number one on my list. It is. I put it just that way. You've been looking at my notes. My number one, I put, God said so. Obedience is the very best way. We do it out of obedience. God said do it. And God always knows what's best for me. And so that's very good. All of these are just, so far, just lining right up. Who else? Somebody over here had their hand up. All right, Brother Adam, then we'll get you, Brother Greg. Help keeps you thankful. That's on my list. There's no way that you can be a praying Christian and not be a thankful Christian. As we pray, actually, that's one of the reasons that motivates me to pray. Thanksgiving is prayer. And so when I'm giving God thanks, I'm spending that time in prayer. And so they go together. Very good. Very good. Brother Greg. Who's going to be the first person that doesn't get one on the list? Amen. Amen. That's on my list. There's an enemy, and we need strength. We need strength. When Jesus taught the disciples' prayer, he said that we're to pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Give us strength. Give us wisdom. Give us discernment. And so these things go together, Brother Philip, Brother Greg. Someone over here had their hand up. Okay, Wyatt. Confession of our sin. It's on my list. Confession of sin. Psalm 32, Psalm 51, 1 John 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. Could you imagine what it would be like to go through life, even as a believer, and not have the capacity and the high priest that we could go to and confess our sin, our intercessor? Could you imagine what it would be like to walk around with the guilt and the shame of unconfessed sin? Aren't you glad that God, through prayer, allows us to confess our sin? You know, sometimes we take these things for granted, don't we? We really do. I'm glad that when I sin, I'm not glad that I sin, but I'm sure am thankful that when I do, that God has bid me come boldly before the throne of his grace. I'm thankful for that. Very good, Wyatt. Someone else over here. Was it you, James? And then we'll get you, Robert. Keeps us humble. Prayer keeps us humble. I actually have that one as a side note. Let me see where that's at. We might be through with this message. Let me see where I have that as a side note. Of humility. I'll find it here in a minute. It keeps us humble. I have keeps us humble as a side note to another one, and I'll mention it when, if someone else doesn't, okay? But I do have it as a side note. Maybe you'll mention it, Robert. Amen. To magnify and glorify God. Sister Tammy, I think, alluded to that, but it's, I have that desire for God's glory. Jesus said, when you pray, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We want God's name to be glorified. And a lot of times when we pray, if we're not careful, we'll just kind of skip over, God, this is what we want for you. We want your name to be honored. We want you to be glorified. And we just go right to God, give us this day our daily bread. Nothing wrong with that. It's just there should be a real concern in our hearts and a desire that God would be glorified. Very good. All right, we'll take two more. Yes, we'll get three more. I seen three hands. So we'll get Jacob, and then we're going to get Sister Son, and then we're going to get you, Brother Steve. All right, Jacob. Yes, we get to commune with God. That has been mentioned. That I think Sister Tammy talked about, you know, our focal point. We get to talk to God. And I think that goes with that. It's a way that we get to commune with God. And so I'm thankful for that. Very good. Very good. Sister Son?
You know, I'm coming from South Korea. And when I got saved, and the very English reading and understanding and everything else, my thing is, 3 years old Christian life,
amen. That's great. I hope everyone heard that. I do. If you didn't, I'm going to kind of rephrase a little bit, and that is that she made a decision when she was a young Christian, didn't know very much English, only Korean, but she made a decision, I'm going to pray and ask God to help me to understand the English Bible. And she prayed for wisdom and understanding, and God heard and answered her prayer and gave her understanding as she read through the English Bible. It helped her to learn English, and it also helped her to know God in a greater way. Amen. I sure hope you heard that. 2 or 3 hours reading God's words, and the psalm says that the word is sweeter than honey, and she found it to be so. Amen. Thank you, Sister Sun. Amen. Brother Steve? Amen. Amen. And that is a point that I have. Jesus is our great example. Jesus is our great example. I think someone might have said this. This is for the humility. And that is that we should pray because we have a desire for our needs to be met. And I think someone said that. And I had, just as a side note, humility. It just, you know, I realize that my sufficiency is not in me. And I also realize that in our country, and I want to be very careful how I word this, when Jesus said that we're to pray, give us this day our daily bread, I just don't know if I've had to do that too many times. I want to choose my words carefully because I don't want to offend nobody, and I don't want to seem, I've just been very blessed in my life. But I noticed what Jesus said when he said, when you're to pray, he didn't say, give me this day my daily bread. He said, give us. And so while my need may not be daily bread, I still have needs. But I'm also to remember those whose needs may be daily bread. Because there are people around our world today who had little to nothing to eat. Maybe that live in your neighborhood. Or don't live there. Maybe they just are there. I know, and you know, that there are people around our world who don't even have water to drink. You know, something we just take it for granted. You know, we go into any kitchen, restroom, we just flip water on, you know. I mean, it's just a turn of a knob. And there's people who do not have that luxury, and really that's what it is. It's a blessing. They do not have much, if any, food to eat. They do not have very good, if any, medical provision, any medical care afforded to them. They are very sickly, and they have no medicine whatsoever to help them. They cannot afford the things that we do regularly. And so we are to be mindful, certainly, of our needs as we pray. But we're to be mindful of the needs of others. The greatest need is, of course, and I have this written down, is the salvation of the lost. Aren't you glad that you get to pray for lost loved ones and family members to be saved? I've said it, and I believe it. I believe when you get saved, you're an answer to someone's prayer. If no one else, you're an answer to the prayer of the Lord Jesus in John 17. We're an answer to prayer. And we need to be praying. The scripture teaches, you know, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, don't realize if you understand this or not. Maybe you do. When in 1 Timothy chapter 2, when Paul was writing Timothy, he said, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. You know what context that's in? That's 1 Timothy 2:8. In 1 Timothy 2:5, we find there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Verse number 6 says, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, God who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So you see, in the context of that scripture, it's about people being saved. And so we're to pray. We have that privilege. We have that honor. But it's also a responsibility. We are to pray for people to be saved. In that same chapter, chapter 2 of 1 Timothy, also in Romans chapter 13, we're commanded and we're exhorted to pray for those in authority over us. Kings, I think, is how Paul words it in 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. We're to pray for those in authority over us and those in that are involved in governing affairs. So there's a lot that should motivate us to pray. So in the few moments that we have together, and thank you, by the way, and I'm sure that some of the others would raise their hand, but I want to get to a few things, and I'll just kind of reiterate some things that has already been said, but I'm not going to go into it because you said it, and I'm glad that you did. I was hoping it would turn out this way. Brethren, we have a lot to pray about. So when you first read, are you in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 still? When I first read, if I'm going down through here and I'm reading 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and I get down to verse number 16 and it says, rejoice evermore. My first thought might be, really? You know, man born a woman, his days are full of trouble as the sparks fly upward. You know, in this world you shall have tribulation. The world, there's trouble, there's sorrow, there's hardship. And so when you first read something like that, it's almost like a natural, not a supernatural, a natural reaction to say, I just don't know about that. But when you really begin to think about some things, number one, God said do it. So do it. Right? God said do it, which means it can be done. It's a choice. And we saw that when we looked at it in detail. There's going to be trouble, whether you rejoice or not. The trouble's not going away, right? Is that what Habakkuk said? He said, you know, he lists the things, the trouble of the land, the trees not bearing fruit, the vines not bearing the fruit. He listed the things that were going on in the captivity. He listed the things that were going on in the times of trouble. And he said, yet will I rejoice. I'm going to rejoice anyway because the things are not going to just start bearing fruit if I don't rejoice. They're not going to bear fruit, so I'm going to rejoice in the God of my salvation. I'm just going to rejoice in God. And so we need to rejoice. And I've talked to you about the source of that rejoicing. Then you get to the next one, verse number 17, pray without ceasing. Again, you look at that and you say, I can't be praying all the time. I don't think Paul, there's no thinking to it. Paul is not saying that we are to always be praying. We're to be in the attitude of prayer. We ought to be in constant fellowship to where we're always have open lines of communication to pray to God. That we always are mindful that we need to pray. And we just need to pray. You know, when the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, even also as John taught his disciples, he didn't say, okay, after this manner pray ye. He didn't say, now, if you pray, he said, when you pray, you pray like this. Not if you pray. It should be common for us to pray. It's almost like breathing, right? I mean, we should just be in a constant attitude of prayer. We should always be praying about things. Praying is not something that we should just do in crisis situations, though it is good to pray in crisis situations. There's times that prayer gets fervent, right? I mean, there it is. By the way, I looked at this word here. It's interesting in verse number 17, pray. It's just a general word for prayer. You know, it's a general word. It could mean, you know, make intercession, pray for someone else. It could mean in fervency. It could mean in consistency. It could mean in supplication. It can mean in thanksgiving. It's just the common word that God uses through the Bible for all sources of prayer. And so he said, you know, you should just always be talking to God. Always have, and a few people said it here tonight, there should always be that God is our focal point. We want to stay in that communion with God through prayer. Through prayer. And we want to just keep that communication line open so that when we have a need, when we have a desire, when we have a praise, we can just talk to God. We're on speaking terms with God. Amen? And so this is what the apostles say. I want to ask you a question. Are you on speaking terms with your Father? I hope that you are. I do. I have no reason to doubt that you are. But I know, and someone said it, I think it might have been Philip. I think it was Greg. I don't know. I shouldn't have to try to remember these things. I can't even hardly remember my name half the time. We have an enemy. And our enemy wants to keep us from praying. Our enemy wants to rob us of our joy. And one of the ways that he can rob us of our joy is to keep us from praying. I think it was Carey that said that it's that peace. And it's found in Philippians chapter 4 where he said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. We need to pray for protection of our minds, protections of our hearts. Did you realize that Jesus said when you pray, now listen carefully, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God, give me wisdom to know when I'm being led in the wrong way. Brother Philip texted me something earlier today about the deception of the day in which we live, and it's sad. It's sad. Some of the things that people are turning to in deception, it's through the name of the church of our day, and it's just sad, sad, where people just doing what they think is right, what is right in their own eyes instead of what God said is right. So let me run through these, okay? Not run through them, but let me enumerate these, and I trust that these will be a help to you. Number one, someone said it, Brother Larry, the greatest motivation to pray for me, and it should be for all of us, is God said so. Oh, what peace we often forfeit, right? Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Pray without ceasing. Pray about things, brethren. God is our helper. God wants to get involved in our lives. God wants to lead us. God wants to commune with us. He wants to fellowship with us. He wants to hear from us. And he wants to bless us. You have not because you ask not. And so pray because God says so. Number two, pray to desire God's glory. Pray to desire God's glory. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. God, I want your name to be exalted. I want your will to be done. I want your kingdom to be accomplished. I want these things. I want my God to receive honor and glory. Don't you? Sure you do. Sure you do. And I think that we know each other well enough to know that most people who attend Fellowship Baptist Church, we have a kindred spirit in this point. We want God's name to be honored. We want God's name to be glorified. And we need to be praying that. We need to be praying what we sang tonight, Brother James. Make me a blessing. I want people to see God in my life. Make me a blessing to someone today. Third thing, desire for fellowship and communion with God. The psalmist said, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. And so for that communion, that deep communion, that fellowship. And I was going to turn to Psalm 27, but I'm not. But you ought to read Psalm 27 sometime. David said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." Amen. David said, "I just want to behold the beauty of the Lord. I just want to be in God's presence." And so that should be a motivation to pray, so we can be in the presence of God. I just love to be in God's presence, don't you? I love it when God just communes with me and I get to commune with Him. Number four, desire for our needs to be met. And we talked about that. We talked about needs being met, not just for us, but for others. That's why we pray for our brethren. We pray for one another. That's why we have one reason, the main reason we have this meeting right here, prayer meeting time. We have a prayer list. That's one reason we have servants in the church. You know, I thought about the early church, great emphasis on prayer. They were meeting even before the day of Pentecost was fully come in Acts chapter 1. They were in the upper room, and you know what they were doing? They were in one mind, and they were in one accord in prayers. That's Acts 1:14. Those people were praying people, brethren. They were praying people. Acts chapter 6, they said, "Look, we cannot do all the things that need to be done. So we're going to get some people to help us out." Why? So we can give ourselves continually to prayer and the Word of God. Acts chapter 12, Peter was in prison, and they began to pray. I mean, they made prayer for Peter night and day, and God sent an angel and broke him out of that place. Amen. It's amazing. When they went out to send out the first missionaries in Acts 13, they fasted and prayed. And the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, says, "Separate unto me Saul and Barnabas," right? The early church placed a great emphasis on prayer. And God help you and God help me to do that as well. That needs may be met. For the wisdom of God, James 1:5, Matthew 6, lead us not into temptation. And so it's very, very important that we get God's wisdom and God's understanding and God's discernment about things. As a pastor, I pray, "God help me not to do. I don't want to do something that would dishonor God or that would let the church down, lead us in a wrong way, or make a poor decision that would cause God's name to be reproached or this body of believers to be mocked and scoffed because of decision that I have led the people in." And you need to pray, "God, give our pastor, give our leadership, God, give us as a body, give us discernment and wisdom so we can know your will and follow your will." Desire for peace. Someone mentioned this, relief from fear and worry, and we've already talked about. To give thanks, a desire to give thanks. Paul was constantly thanking the people. "I thank my God," he said often, "upon every remembrance of you." Paul was a thankful man. He was thankful. It's one of the reasons that I admire his ministry. I love to read about him and what he wrote, because he was just always thanking people. You know, Paul was a man. You're in 1 Thessalonians still? You still there? Okay. Look at chapter 3. This about sums up Paul's life. Look at verse number 9. Chapter 3, verse 9. "For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God?" He said, "I'm just so thankful that I got to meet you and I get to know you." Isn't it that way with the brethren? I mean, it just is. I feel that way about you. I'm so glad that God sent me here. I'm so thankful that I get to be your pastor. I'm thankful that I get to serve God with you. It's an honor. Look at verse number 10. "Night and day, praying exceedingly, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith." He said, "I just want to help you. I love you. And I thank God I get to serve with you and I get to serve you. And I'm just thankful, and I'm praying that I get to see you. I'm praying night and day, exceedingly." Brethren, that is the mind of Christ right there. That is the mind of Christ. And so praying for wisdom, desire for peace, giving thanks. Confession of sin was mentioned. 1 John 1:9, Psalm 51, Psalm 32. Salvation for the lost. Paul said, "My heart's desire for Israel is that they might be saved." He said, "I have heaviness of heart, continual sorrow for my kinsmen according to the flesh. He said, I just want to see my people get saved. Amen. And that is an example for all of us. Now I want to say this one and I'll be through. I hope you'll write these scriptures down. I do. How can we pray for one another? The last one that I had was the maturity of the church. Because that's what the context of this scripture is. The context in which is Paul said pray without ceasing was how that we are to leadership, serve the people. People understand relationship to the leadership, the people with the people, and then all of us before Christ. And he said, you just keep praying. You want a healthy church? You keep praying. You keep praying. Don't you ever quit praying. Don't you ever give up on that. If the devil takes your prayer life, if he deceives you into believing that prayer don't matter and prayer doesn't make a difference and prayer doesn't change things, and he robs you of that tool, oh my, he has disarmed you. And I just pray that you would always, and that we would always understand the priority and the significance of prayer. Paul prayed for the church. And I want you to write this scripture down. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. Many of you are aware of these prayers that Paul prayed. They're called Paul's prison prayers. It's Paul who wrote letters to these churches while he was in prison. And he's praying for these people. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. We have a recorded prayer of the Apostle Paul for the church. And you say, well, I want to pray for my church family, Pastor. I think that'd be a great place to start. You read that prayer that Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 1, verses 15 to 23. It's something. You can just hear his heartbeat in it. Then in chapter 3 of Ephesians, verses 14 through 21, we have another prayer that Paul prays for the church at Ephesus. So when I want to pray for my church family, how can I scripturally pray for my church family? I'm telling you, Ephesians 1, verses 15 through 23, Ephesians 3, verse 14 through 21, Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 through 11, and Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 through 20. Well, that's not even, as the old saying, touching the hem of the garment of what that verse of scripture is. It's just a few words. Pray without ceasing. But there's a lot to it, isn't there? You want to win the war? And you are in one. We are in a war. You want to win? Pray without ceasing. Let's always be encouraging each other to pray. And let's always be praying one for another. All right, brethren? Let's pray. Bow your head with me. Maybe, just maybe, something was said to maybe spark a little interest to motivate each of us to pray a little more. I never feel like I've prayed enough. As a pastor, I always feel like I fail the flock in this area. I have scores, if not hundreds, of people who ask me to pray about things on a regular basis. And I'm so glad that they have that confidence in me. I don't say that in any way as a complaint. I say that as an honor. And I know that you have a lot of things and a lot of people that want you to pray for them too. Don't get discouraged. Don't faint. Don't be weary in well-doing. Stay strong. Stay focused. Ask God to help you to pray without ceasing. Upon every remembrance, call out the names of those that depend on us to pray in their behalf.